Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear viewers, we've been discussing and critically evaluating the collection of the Quran narrative as described in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari and attributed to the Caliph Uthman in the last two sessions of the last two episodes. In this third episode, we continue our inquiry and critical evaluation of this narrative, and we shall look at a major critique which has emerged on this narrative, on the text of this narrative. Now, before I go into that in more detail, let me remind you of the fact that in the main narrative in which this collection of the Quran or the copying out of the Quran is mentioned by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Jami' al-Sahih, and indeed other muhaddisun who have also recorded this narrative in a similar vein, it has been expressly said that Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, who was a general of the Caliph Uthman, was alarmed at the differences in reading the Quran between the armies of Syria and Iraq. And this took place when he was there at fighting alongside with them against the armies of Armenia and Azerbaijan. So this is what the main narrative describes. And it was this alarming nature of differences which really provoked and induced Huzaifa to come over to Uthman, and then we know what Uthman did, as is described in that narrative. Now, this is what the narrative is explicitly states, as I said. And another fact, as which will become evident when we proceed further in our critique, especially when we come to the isnad, that will become evident is the fact that the madar of this narrative, or the focal point of this narrative, I'm specifically talking about his chain of narration, is again Zuhri, as was the case with the collection of the Quran narrative in Imam Bukhari's Al-Jami' al-Sahih in the case of the Caliph Abu Bakr. So here too the madar is Zuhri. So what I'm going to present here in a particular way is that if we look into to some of the other history and hadith books in which disputes regarding the armies have been reported, dispute between the armies which developed the armies of Kufa and Syria, or Iraq and Syria, the two armies which developed. If we look at the nature of these disputes in some of the other sources, we find an entirely different picture. And we do not find people or the historians of the first four or five centuries saying anything regarding differences in reading that were the cause of this dispute. On the contrary, what these sources report is an entirely different. So, for example, we look at some of the things which these reports tell us. We look at the reports, or category of reports, which tell us that the differences which actually arose between the Syrian and the Iraqi armies was because of the spoils of war, and the whether one would get them or the other would get them, or they should be distributed in both armies. This was the cause of dispute. Now, another category of narrative says that the issue of leadership between the two armies was brought up, and the two generals who were leading the two armies, they quarreled as to who should become the leader. And so the second category of narrative reports this type of differences or dispute between the armies. And then there's a third type, which I would say is, which can be called a category in which certain exceptions are reported. And these exceptions are that in one of these exceptions, we do not find the nature of this dispute, although the dispute is mentioned that it took place between the armies, but the nature is not pointed out. And another one, which belongs to the same category of exceptions, is that the cause of dispute is not reported at all. So I am talking about these historical narratives which we find in other books of history, in specifically books of history, and which are generally, or if I say categorically as well, which contain non-Zuhri material, or which contain which does not contain Zuhri in their chain of narration, or they contain material which is not reported by Imam Zuhri. So these are those narratives which we'll describe and see how they stand up to the test of historical criticism. And I should also like to point out here that this difference of this nature of differences which have been brought up by these historical narratives has been brought to my notice, or it came to my notice when I was reading through Abdullah Khurshid al-Barri's book Al-Qur'an wa Ulumuhu fi Misr, and he was actually discussing when this event of Usman took place, whether it took place in the 30th Hijrah or the 25th Hijrah. So he was examining the year in which this took place. And during his examination, he said, or he has surmised in his book, that we should look not only at the reports of the Muhaddisun, as has been recorded in Hadith books, but we should also look at the reports of the historians, some of the historians, which are pure historians, and see what they have reported. So it was while going through his book that it came to my notice that historians of the first couple of centuries or first four centuries report an entirely different nature of dispute. The fact that there was a difference in the recital of the Quran, as is reported by Imam Bukhari in his Al-Jami' al-Sahih, was never ever recorded or reported by these early historians. In fact, what they reported is what I just surmised. Either it was a difference in the issue of leadership between the two generals, or it was between the spoils of war. The issue of difference of reading was reported by later historians, and not by these early historians. And in my current lecture and talk, I'll go into detail and try to bring out how these two or three categories, they give an alternative picture. So in this way, I'll find myself indebted thoroughly to Abdullah Khurshid al-Barri, because it is he who has pointed out or pointed to this whole episode, that the nature of the differences was entirely a different episode and a different nature. And I then studied his own sources, which he described, and I then directly discussed and had a deep evaluation, or tried to do a deep evaluation of all those sources in which, through which he actually gathered this information. And it only further strengthened what he had surmised, that the issue of the dispute, the nature of dispute between the armies, was never the case of differences in reading. So if this becomes established, then obviously this is a very, very major critique on the narrative as is recorded by Imam Bukhari. So viewers, let me first go on to the first category of these historians, I would say. And I'll deal first with those historians who say that the issue between the two armies, the Kufan or the Iraqi and the Syrian armies, so when I say Kufan or Iraqi, obviously they refer to the same army, because Kufa was the capital of Iraq, and the other is the Syrian army. So when I speak of the differences, I speak of the differences between these two armies. So as I said, I'll first take up the category of the dispute which belonged to the nature of the issue of the spoils of war. So the spoils of war was the major basis of this dispute. Now I'm going to deal with this category first, and one by one I'll bring before you the historians who have actually described how spoils of war was the reason between the dispute for the dispute between the two armies. So first of all, I'll take up the case of Muhammad bin Umar al-Waqidi, the historian, and in his famous book Futuhul Islam li Bilad al-Ajam wa Khurasan, I'm going to refer to material which is recorded in his book, and read out certain parts of that and all in a summary form. So now, this is please do remember that this is the era when the Caliph Usman had assumed power, and he was the person who was in charge of the Muslims, and the events which are I'm going to describe before you took place in his era. So it is recorded by Waqidi in his Futuhul Islam that Amir Muawiyah, who was in the governor of Syria in the times of the Caliph Usman, he sent Habib ibn Maslama to conquer Armenia. When the latter reached Shamisat, he was forced to ask for help to fight an army which had gathered there to fight him. The army was led by a person called Mirzaban, and he belonged to Rome. So Habib wrote to Amir Muawiyah, and Amir Muawiyah wrote to Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who then wrote to Walid ibn Uqba. Now Walid at that time was the governor. He was the governor of Kufa, and we know that he reigned as the governor of Kufa between 24 and 29 Hijrah. So Amir Muawiyah wrote to Usman, and Usman then wrote to Walid ibn Uqba to send an army of 10,000 to help Habib. So remember, Habib ibn Maslama was sent by Amir Muawiyah to attack Armenia. And the cause was that they had desisted to pay tribute, as is described in other sources. So as a result, he sent an army of people under the command of Salman ibn Rabi'ah. And Habib, thinking that victory might solely be attributed to the Iraqi army or the advancing Kufan army, he did not wait for them. So Habib was made to attack. He did not wait for the army to arrive, for the Kufan army to arrive. And he had in his mind that this victory will also be attributed to the Kufan army. So he suddenly attacked the army at night and won the battle. Now, after this event took place, after he won the battle, it was only then that the Kufan army arrived. And when it arrived, they demanded that they too be given the spoils of war, although they did not take part in the battle, but they said that since they were on their way, so they too should be given a share in the spoils of war. So it is said that this led to a quarrel between the two armies, which ended in a battle, and the Kufans won the day. It actually ended in a battle, and the Kufans won the day. And then the whole matter of dispute was referred to the Caliph Uthman, who ordered that the spoils should be distributed among both the armies. So his verdict, as recorded by Al-Waqidi, is that the spoils should be distributed among both the armies. And Habib, who was the person who had won the battle, he surrendered before the Caliph Uthman's decision, and the decision was enforced that the spoils of war, which was the reason of the dispute between the two generals of the two armies, they were divided between both the armies. Now, let me also here point out another historical fact, and that is that in the Tariq of At-Tabri, we also find Al-Waqidi's report, and it is absolutely similar to what we have just seen in this Fathul Islam. The only thing is that it is sent that the person who sent Salman ibn Rabi'ah to the help of Habib ibn Maslama was Sa'id ibn al-As, not Walid ibn Uqba. So Sa'id ibn al-As was the governor of Kufa from 29 to 34. He was the governor just after Walid. So the only thing which changes or which is different in this version of Al-Waqidi as recorded in Tabri is that the person who sent the Kufan army was not Walid. It was Sa'id ibn al-As. And therefore, this event took place in the governorship of Sa'id ibn al-As, which, as I just pointed out, was from 29 to 34 Hijrah. And Walid's reign was from 24 to 29. So this is the only difference. Otherwise, it's absolutely the same. Now, this is the first historian that I have brought before you. And as you have just seen, that according to him, it was that the generals quarreled and the spoils of war was distributed between both armies. And this was actually the decision of the Caliph Uthman himself. Now, let's move on to another historian. And he is Al-Balazuri, a famous historian. And his book, Futuhul Buldan, obviously one of the earliest history books which reports the conquests of the Muslims in various territories, is very famous for that. Now, he narrates the conquests of Azerbaijan and Armenia separately. Now, as far as the conquest of Armenia is concerned, he has recorded two versions and given preference to the first because he says that it has been narrated to him by many authorities in the city of Kalikala, and Al-Attaf ibn Sufyan, a qazi of the city, has sent him a written account of it. And this is the word. He has actually reported two versions. One version is the one which I'm just going to describe before you. The other one belongs to the other category of narratives, which he has actually rejected. And that category of narratives actually relates to the dispute, which was of the nature of the lead of who is going to lead the armies. As I said, that was the second category of narratives. But Balazuri has reported both these versions, but given preference to the one which says that it was actually the spoils of war, which was the basis of dispute between the two armies. And he says that, as I've just said, that it has been narrated to him by many authorities of the city of Kalikala. And Al-Attaf ibn Sufyan, Abu Asbagh, he was a qazi of the city. So he has sent him, according to him, a written version of this whole event. Now, Balazuri, again, I'm going to summarize what Balazuri has written. So he says that when Uthman became the caliph, he wrote to Amir Muawiyah, the governor of Syria, to send Habib ibn Maslama to conquer Armenia. According to another report, which to the author is more correct, Uthman had actually written to Habib directly. So Habib marched towards Armenia and stationed himself at Kalikala. In the battle which ensued, Habib won. and remained there for some months. During this time, he heard that a Roman army was going to attack them, so he wrote to help to Usman, who wrote to Amir Muawiyah to send help to him. Amir Muawiyah sent him 2,000 men for this purpose. Usman also wrote to Sayyid ibn al-As, the governor of Kufa, to send Salman ibn Rabi'ah to help them. Since this help arrived late, now this is what Bilazri has said, this help actually arrived late, Habib must have waited, but since this was late, so he went forth and he attacked the Roman army at night and killed their leader. So when Salman reached them, he demanded a share in the spoils of war, and this resulted in a scuffle, and some even threatened to kill Salman. So Salman was the person who had come to the aid of Habib. So the scuffle said, according to this version, that this scuffle even ended that someone from the opposite side actually threatened to kill Salman. And a poet from the Kufan said, this is a famous couplet which Bilazri has recorded, وَإِن تَقْتُلْ سَلْمَانَ نَقْتُلْ حَبِيبَكُمْ وَإِن تَرْحَلُوا نَحْوَ ابْنَ عَفَّانَ نَرْحَلُوا, which means that if you kill Salman, we will kill your Habib. And if you head off towards Ibn Affan, or Ibn Affan, referring to Usman, we will also go to him and seek justice. Obviously, the implication is that they will also go to him and seek justice. So the event says, or the narrative says, as recorded by Bilazri, that ultimately judgment was sought from Usman, who said that the spoils only belong to the Syrians, and asked Salman to attack Iran and other territory. So in this case, we find that Usman's judgment was that the person who had attacked, or the people who had attacked, was actually the Syrian army. So therefore, only they had the right to the spoils of war. So only Habib ibn Maslama's army had the right to the spoils of war, not Salman's. So contrary to what has been reported earlier by Waqidi, remember what he said, according to Waqidi's report, the spoils were distributed equally among both the armies. But however, here we find Bilazri relying on a more verifiable account, in which he says that Usman's judgment was that actually the army who had attacked and won the day and won the battle should be the beneficiary of the spoils of war. The third person I'm going to discuss is Ahmad ibn Asim al-Kufi, and in his Kitab al-Futuh, his account is entirely based on the one given by al-Waqidi in his Futuh al-Islam, which I've just described. So it's just a matter of referring to Ahmad ibn Asim al-Kufi, because he's an important historian and a very, very earlier one. He died in 314 Hijra. Next we come to Abu Aruba, and he died in 318 in his Kitab al-Awail, another book which describes the events, the first events, the first of each event which took place in history. So his account seems to be based entirely on the one given by al-Bilazri in his Futuh al-Buldan above, referred to above, the first account which al-Bilazri has given preference. And except for the fact that it does not mention what happened after a scuffle arose between Salman and Habib over the issue of the spoils of war. So how it got settled has not been reported by him. But the fact that it was the spoils of war which was the basis of this dispute has been recorded by him. And then we find again that the same couplet has been recorded by him as well. وَإِن تَقْتُلْ سَلْمَانَ نَقْتُلْ حَبِيبَكُمْ وَإِن تَرْحَلُنَا فَبْنِ أَفَّانَ نَرْحَلُ. The same couplet has been reported by him. This was actually said by a poet from the Kufans. So the above account is enlisted under a heading which says that this was the first enmity which arose between the people of Iraq and the people of Syria. Remember, the book is called Kitab al-Awail. So Kitab al-Awail means a book which tells the first of the various events which took place in earlier history. So this is actually the first dispute which took place between the Iraqi and the Syrian army. So this is how the Kitab al-Awail of Abu Aruba describes the whole event. Now we move on to Qudama ibn Ja'far. He died in 337 Hijra. And the book that I'm going to refer to is Al-Khiraj wa Sana'a al-Kitaba. This is again a book of Qudama ibn Ja'far. Now his account is almost entirely the same as the one given by al-Bilazri in his Futuh al-Buldan, which I just described before you. So again, this question of reference to an early historian who has said the same thing as has been recorded by al-Bilazri. Next we come, and this is the sixth person in line, we come to Ibn Abdul Barr, and he is his famous book Al-Isti'ara fi Ma'rifat al-Ashab is again a biography of the companions. He died in 463 Hijra. And under the biography of Habib ibn Maslama, while quoting an opinion, he says that it is said that it was Usman radiallahu anhu who sent him to Azerbaijan and Salman was sent to help him. The two quarreled over the issue of the spoils of war. And again, we find the same couplet being recorded by Ibn Abdul Barr. So I'm not going to read out that couplet. So we here find a sixth person, a sixth historian, Ibn Abdul Barr, saying the fact that again, the quarrel which took place between the two generals of the two armies related to the issue of the spoils of war. Now, let us come to the seventh person in this line, and he is Ibn Asakir, and his famous book Tariq Medina Dimashq is a huge compendium of information regarding the earlier events or the events of the first four and a half or five centuries of the Islamic era. Now, I must make this distinction here that he has quoted both accounts. Now, he has quoted the account which says that the nature of dispute was on the basis of the spoils of war, which now I'm going to refer to. And Ibn Asakir has also recorded another version which actually says that the difference in the reading, the cause of the dispute was differences in the reading of the Quran, and we shall discuss that later on. So, the first one of these accounts which he has cited is almost the same as that of Al-Balazari given above and is recorded on the authority of Rashid ibn Sa'd. In another narrative, the account is attributed to both Rashid ibn Sa'd and Atiyah ibn Qais. In three other narratives, it is attributed to Az-Zubayr ibn Bakkar, Sayyid ibn Abdul Aziz, and Ibn Abi Zu'ayb respectively. So here we find that this is one version of this narrative, of this whole event being recorded by Ibn Asakir. Now, the only difference is that here Habib wrote to Muawiyah for help and not to Usman directly. Muawiyah wrote to Usman, who wrote to the governor of Iraq. It is not mentioned here by Ibn Asakir whether the governor was Sa'id ibn al-As or Walid ibn Uqba, so we cannot determine the exact time. So the words are that he wrote to the governor of Iraq. So the governor then sent an army under the leadership of Salman ibn Rabi'ah. The difference in opinion which arose was due to the spoils of war. Again, we had a difference of opinion between the two armies. And again, Ibn Asakir here says in his first version that it was due to the spoils of war. So viewers, we see that in this first category, we find that historians reporting that the issue that arose, the issue of dispute, the cause of the dispute was not the reading of the Quran or reciting the Quran differently, as is recorded by Imam Bukhari in his Jami' al-Sahih. Rather, we find an entirely different picture, and I would again express my gratitude to Abdullah Khurshid al-Barri, because he is the one who has pointed out his alternative picture, and I have studied in detail later on and expanded on his sources. So this is the first category which I have just described. Now let us come to the second category of this these historians actually, and in this second category we will actually find that the difference which is reported by historians is not because there was any issue on the basis of spoils of war or data distribution, as I've just described earlier on. But here we find that the dispute was of a different nature, and that was on the issue of leadership. But again, as I said, that in this issue of leadership here, we do not, we'll develop and see as we all go on, as the issue develops, that again, the cause of the dispute is in the earlier era or the first few centuries or four centuries of Muslim history, that this was again described as historians, that the cause was not of the Quran being read differently. It was rather because the generals quarreled over the issue of leadership. Now, first of all, I'll report or describe or summarize before you the view of Saif ibn Umar. And this has been recorded by Tabari in his Tariq. So this is basically the version or the report of Saif. So according to Saif ibn Umar, Abdul Rahman ibn Rabia was deputed to guard the frontiers of Armenia when, in 38 Hijra, he was forced to ask for help. Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman was diverted from the battlefront of Ray and sent to him at Bab, a city in the Iran territory of Armenia. Sa'id ibn al-As also accompanied him till both of them reached Azerbaijan. Sa'id remained there while Huzaifa went over to Abdul Rahman at Bab. Later, both Sa'id and Huzaifa returned. Now, Saif ibn Umar says that in the events of the 32 Hijra, that Usman wrote to Sa'id ibn al-As to send Salman ibn Rabia with an army to the battlefront of Bab. Usman also wrote to Abdul Rahman ibn Rabia, who was at that time at Bab, to not engage in battle. However, he did not pay heed and was killed in a battle with the Khazars and the Turks at Balanjar. Salman ibn Rabia replaced his brother, because of course he was killed, and the caliph then sent Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman from Kufa to help him. So according to Saif, in 33 Hijra, Salman ibn Rabia was further reinforced at the behest of the caliph by a Syrian army led by Habib ibn Maslama. So you have to note one thing, that this narrative or this version is actually reporting the entire opposite. It is not that Habib who attacked and Salman who came to his help. It is the other way around. It says that it is actually Salman who was reinforced at the behest of the caliph by the Syrian army led by Habib ibn Maslama. So Salman was appointed his leader as well, but Habib refused to accept his leadership. So here is this point, that Habib refused to accept the leadership of Salman, and matters reached the extent that the armies of the two exchanged hot words. Aus ibn Mughira, a poet of the Kufan army, is reported to have recited the following couplets at this occasion. And again, these couplets are recorded in some detail. I'll just read out these couplets. And they say that wa in tadribu Salman nadrib habibakum wa in tarhalu Ahmad ibn Affan narhal. This is the same narrative, but there's a series of it's the same couplet, but there's a series of couplets. So the translation is that if you strike Salman, we will strike Habib, and if you march towards Affan, we will also go to him. Now the second couplet he says is, وَإِن تُقْسِتُوا فَالصَّغْرُ صَغْرُ أَمِيرِنَا وَهَذَا أَمِيرٌ فِي الْكَتَائِبَ مُقْبِلُ, which means, if you do justice, this front belongs to our leader. Look, this leader of ours is bringing over the armies. So he's continuing with that whole theme in a very vehement manner. And then he says, وَنَحْنُ وَلَاتُ الصُّغْرِ كُنَّا حُمَاتَ لَيَالِيَا نَرْمِي كُلَّ صَغْرٍ وَنُنْكِلْ. We are the administrators of this front, and we used to protect it when we used to spray arrows on this front and punish the armies. So he is continuing with his very, very emotional speech. So this is what has been recorded by Saif ibn Umar, and this is a report which I've just described. Now we next come to the second historian in this regard, and he is Al-Bilazuri himself, and as I said earlier on, that he has recorded two versions. Now I'm going to read out the second version before you, but again with a reminder that he himself has rejected this version. But nevertheless, the way it has been recorded by him, I'm just going to summarize it before you. Again, it is from his Futuhul Buldan. So Salman ibn Rabia went to Armenia in the reign of Osman, captured prisoners, and returned in 25 Hijra to Al-Walid ibn Uqba, who was Al-Haditha al-Mawsil. Here a letter arrived from Osman saying that he had been asked by Muawiyah to help the Muslims against the armies of Rome. At this, Al-Walid sent an army of 8,000 under Salman ibn Rabia, and Muawiyah sent another army with the same number of soldiers under Habib ibn Maslama to help the Muslims. Both captured many forts and made prisoners. Salman and Habib quarreled over the issue of the leadership of the Muslims. And a poet amongst the Muslims said again, the same famous couplet, wa in taqtul Salman naqtul Habibakum wa in tarhalu Nahb ibn Affan narhal. So if you kill Salman, we kill your Habib. And if you head off towards Ibn Affan, we also go to him. So this is the second version of Al-Bilazuri in his Futuhul Buldan. And as I said earlier on, it has been dismissed by him. But again, here we find that the two generals, Salman and Habib, quarreling over the issue of leadership. Now viewers, we come to the third and final category. Now, this third and final category, as I said, is again consists of two exceptions. It's the exception category, and the exceptions are of two types. Now, I'm going to read out the first or summarize the first of these exceptions, and this is by Abu Mikhnaf Lut ibn Yahya. Now, he died in approximately 130 Hijrah, so he's a very, very early person. He belonged to the early 2nd century. So his version has been recorded by Tabri in his Tarikh, again. So according to Abu Mikhnaf, Al-Walid ibn Uqba attacked Armenia and Azerbaijan when they desisted from paying tribute in 24 Hijrah. So he is exactly pointed out the reason. The reason was that they had desisted from paying tribute, and he's also pointed out that it was in the 24th of Hijrah that this took place. So Al-Walid sent Salman ibn Rabi'ah to lead the front battalion. He then followed and made his way up to Azerbaijan. He then sent Abdullah ibn Shubayl with 4,000 men into various territories of Azerbaijan. Abdullah conquered Laukan, Al-Basir, and Thaylsan. He then returned with spoils and prisoners of war to Al-Walid ibn Uqba. Later, Al-Walid made a peace settlement with them at 800,000 dirhams. The settlement was in accordance with what had already been concluded with them in the times of the Caliph Umar in 22 Hijrah, but which they subsequently had, but which they never honored actually. So although the settlement was that they would pay certain tribute, but this was never done after Umar. So this is how this whole event came to be. So Al-Walid then sent Salman with a 12,000 army to Armenia. Salman fought and killed many among his enemies and made the rest his prisoners. He returned to Al-Walid with a lot of war bounty. Later, when Al-Walid ibn Uqba was at Al-Haditha al-Mawsil, he received a letter from Muawiyah which said that the Romans were about to attack the Muslims and they needed help. So the Romans were about to attack Muslims, and as a result, Muslims needed help against him, against the Romans. At this, Walid sent Salman ibn Rabi'ah with 8,000 soldiers and entered Rome with the Syrian army, which was under the command of Habib ibn Maslama al-Fihri. Both leaders attacked Rome and conquered many forts and gathered a lot of war booty. So this account ends here. And it is evident that there is no mention of any dispute between the armies in Abu Mikhnaf's account, as recorded by At-Tabri. Now, we come to the second of these exceptions. I said that this third category of exceptions, again, has two types of exceptions. One of these exceptions was that the armies of Salman and Salman ibn Rabi'ah and Habib ibn Maslama, they never quarreled with each other, and they won a lot of war booty, and they had conquered many parts of Rome. So the second exception here I'm going to record is from the Tariqh of Al-Yaqubi, and he died in 292 Hijrah. So according to him, Usman sent Habib ibn Maslama to conquer Armenia in 30 Hijrah. He mentioned the fact that Usman later sent Salman ibn Rabi'ah to his help, and the two had a dispute with one another. So as far as the dispute is concerned, Yaqubi also says that it took place between the two generals. However, he does not specify the nature of this dispute and says that even till Usman's death, the two had not reconciled. So this is the second exception, in the third category, this is the second type of exception. So viewers, till here I have described various accounts of Muslim history books and Muslim historians vis-a-vis the nature of dispute which had arisen between the Syrian and the Kufan armies, and I have shown how matters have developed. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات.